Before I get started, I just want everyone to know that this is going to be an unusual message. I don't know that I've ever preached one quite like this. So understand that first. Understand, secondly, I am going to be using the bulk of the time that I have to drive home a point. And when I say drive home, I mean I'm going to drive it home. You may be tempted halfway through this to turn your brain off. I hope the opposite will be your response. I hope the further we get into this, the more attuned your mind will be to the heart of the matter, and the more you will give your heart to the truth of what I am going to try to present. This message comes on the heels of the Israel packages 1 and 2. Actually, this is 1, this is 2. 23 messages that I started preaching in 2014. I started the series with 3 messages called Christ and the Pharisees. It's hard to believe that was 2014. And over the next 5 years, I very carefully and meticulously took us through the biblical teaching on the subject of Israel and its basis in the scriptures and in prophetic scriptures. I exposed the error of Israel-based prophetic futurism. I explained my testimony of how I had been guilty of teaching error for over 30 years in my ministry, because that's all I had been taught, and that's all I knew. It wasn't until 2006 or 7, somewhere in that time frame, that God began dealing with my heart internally about the subject. That led me to several years of prayerful study in which I set aside commentaries, DVDs, books, college notes, everything that I've been taught. I didn't refer to anything except the scripture. And I prayed for God's enlightenment on the subject. From 2007, let's say, to 2014, I was learning, I was studying, I was unlearning all the things that I had been taught, and now trying to find my balance in scripture pertaining to the truth of the subject. So, in 2014, I was ready to start giving the basic preliminary messages. And then each message built on the other. Went through 15 messages in the first Israel package. And let me just give you the titles of those messages. For those of you that don't have Israel package set 1, here are the titles. First, Christ and the Pharisees, and there were 3 messages. The Pharisees hated Jesus. Jesus refused to submit to the authority of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are still with us. And then, the church and Israel set of messages, 7 of them to be exact. The presentation and rejection of the king, a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. Christ's last words to Israel. Not of works, Is he the God of the Jews only, a counterfeit temple, a counterfeit Israel? And then five individual messages followed that. Jewish Zionists, the spiritual descendants of the Pharisees. That one is kind of what I'm building off of in the message today. Jewish Zionists, the spiritual descendant of the Pharisees. The next message was Pharisees and Jews, the New Testament record. The next one, how Christian Zionism is dividing and deceiving the church. I will curse them that bless thee. And the last one in that package, the seven fundamental aspects of the Savior's first advent, in which I discuss the prophecies of John the Baptist and Jesus surrounding the birth of Christ, dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem and Israel. And then we went into set two, which is comprised of eight DVD messages. The first one, the three great deceptions of church history. Secondly, Christian, your allegiance is to Christ, not for Israel. Third, the old covenant has been abolished, and we are under a new, better, and everlasting covenant. Judaizers are attacking your faith. Hold fast. Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. The Jews require a sign. The destruction of Jerusalem, which I feel is the most powerful message God has ever given me to deliver. We sell that message separately if people want it, individual DVDs. If you buy three or more of that message, you get them half price. And a lot of people are buying them in bulk to give to their friends and loved ones. If there's only one message that you could hear of mine, I would strongly suggest it's my message, the destruction of Jerusalem. And then the last message of that series, the Talmud, Chabadism, and Noahide laws. Those were the messages that took me 5 years to prepare and to deliver, and then to put on DVD and make available to people in the internet audience. I am grateful to God that there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, probably thousands all told, who have purchased the Israel packages and the Israel messages, destruction of Jerusalem, etc. Those of you that have purchased them, those of you that have watched them, you are up to speed on where we are in our study on this subject, and you'll be very prepared for the prophecy messages that are forthcoming. Those of you that have not purchased the series yet, I pray to God that you will. I mean, you could spend the money that you would buy these DVDs for going to a family night at the movies or going out to eat a couple times. And I mean, it's all a matter of what's important to us. And if the study of these scriptures is important to you, I think you'll be able to afford it, and that it will be meaningful in your study of the scriptures. So I say all that as an introduction to the message today, which I think always put a caveat with it because you never know what God is going to do. But I think this one will be the capstone. I have five other messages that I've already delivered to you. This will be the sixth that we are going to put in the third Israel package. So when we're done with this message today, we'll get all these six messages together and we'll have the final six messages in this series of 5 years, the Israel series, which will now include three packages instead of just two. So that's where we are with this message. And again, this message is going to be entirely different than the others. I want to drive home a point. If I can drive this point home and you can fully understand this point, then I believe it will be the final finishing touch to the understanding that we need before we can proceed. So with that as an introduction, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Let's begin reading in verse 13. This is Jesus' words to the Pharisees and the scribes of Israel. Read with me what Jesus said to them. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves to the kingdom of heaven, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." And then in verses 17 through 22, he explains that statement in verse 16. So skip down to verse 23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, given your tithes, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and are of all and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye are witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers," that is the judgment of God. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. I want you to look again at what Jesus said in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Could it get any stronger than that? This is the Son of God speaking to the Pharisees, scribes, and leaders of Israel. You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now, just to give you a quick background on the proselytes, Albert Barnes, and this will be the only commentator that I'll refer to in the message today, Albert Barnes writes about the word proselyte: one that comes over from a foreign nation, religion, or sect to us, the Jews, the Pharisees, to convert. Among the Jews, there were two kinds of proselytes. One, proselytes of righteousness. That's what they were called. These were they who wholly and fully embraced the Jewish religion, who were circumcised, and who conformed to all of the rites of the Mosaic institutions. Fully, completely dedicated to the Mosaic institutions. Two, the proselytes of the gate. That's what they were called. Those who approved of the Jewish religion and conformed to some of the rites of the Jews, but they were not circumcised, nor were they dedicated to the Jewish religion. So one was those who were fully converted and active, dedicated to the practice of the Jewish religion, including circumcision and all of the rites and institutions. Others approved of the Jewish religion, claimed to be followers of it, accepted part of it, and maybe some of the rites, but they were not circumcised, and they were certainly not totally dedicated to the Jewish religion. Those were the proselytes. Those are the ones that Jesus referred to in this passage. Proselytes of the Pharisees, in whichever category. Justin Martyr was a second century church father, and he wrote this about the proselytes of the Jews at that time. He said, quote, "The proselytes were the instruments of the scribes and the Pharisees," close quote. The proselytes were the instruments of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were used by the scribes and the Pharisees, manipulated by the scribes and the Pharisees, convinced to do things on behalf of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the instruments, I might prefer the word puppets. They were the puppets of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were not Jewish by birth. They were from foreign nations, converted either in full or in part to the teachings of the Pharisees. Are you following me so far? You're going to have to follow this as I go through this. You're going to have to stay with me. In my message series that I just went over with you, Israel Package 1 and 2, I showed you how Zionists today are the spiritual descendants of the Pharisees. They are the spiritual descendants of the Pharisees. Today, I'm going to show you how the proselytes of the Pharisees, Jewish and Christian Zionists, are taking America to the very pits of hell. Jesus said, "Ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." I'm going to show you today how the modern-day Pharisees, or the proselytes of the Pharisees, actually, the Jewish and Christian Zionists, are taking America to the very pits of hell. What follows is a sample of the influence and control that Zionism has over America. These news items that I'm going to rehearse with you are taken from the past year only. So from January 2019 to January 2020. That's as far back as I went. Understand, this is just 1 year's worth of news items. Understand, secondly, that this is just a sample of the news items, that I have not brought an exhaustive list. I've only brought a partial list, a sample. Time would not permit me to bring the entire list of all of the news items. And these are just the news items that I have found and saved. How many other news items have I completely missed, was not made aware of? Probably several times more than the ones that I did catch. So understand, we're talking about 1 year's worth of news items. We're talking about a sample, partial list of those items. And we're not even including the many, many, many items that I have doubtless missed for whatever reason. I'm going to go through these. I'm not going to comment on most of them. I will quote from a few of them. Again, what follows is a sample of the influence and control that Zionism has over America. January 7, 2019, U.S. Senate, and by the way, most of these are mainstream sources, foreign and domestic. One or two may have been not considered mainstream, but still very popular in readership, but most of them are mainstream in their orientation. So, and there were many other sources that come from, to me, much more honest, independent sources that I could have used, very pointed, very direct, but I didn't use those because what I'm trying to do is show you the influence of Zionism over America, so I'm using the mainstream sources, which has the most influence over the people of our country. So you follow that logic? All right. January 7, 2019, U.S. Senate's first bill in the midst of the shutdown is a bipartisan defense of the Israeli government from boycotts. January 8, boycott Israel, will boycott you. How U.S. senators and state lawmakers put foreign power first. January 9, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft wins Israel's prestigious Genesis Prize. January 12, House advances bill forcing Trump to fill anti-Semitism envoy role. Quote from that article, the U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed legislation on Friday to force U.S. President Donald Trump to permanently pick an anti-Semitism envoy. The measure, called the Special Envoy of Monitor and Combat Anti-Semitism Act, was approved by legislators on a 411-1 vote on the House floor. The only lawmaker to vote against the bill was Representative Justin Amash, a Republican from Michigan, now an independent. He was the only congressman in the U.S. Congress to vote against this bill. Did you even know that we had an anti-Semitism envoy in the United States? Yeah. February 1st, Jewish groups pay to send U.S. police to train for counterterrorism in Israel. American police officers being paid by Israel to go to Israel to receive training from the Israel Defense Forces on how to conduct law enforcement in the United States. You wonder one of the reasons why we're having more and more problem with out-of-control policemen. Does that help explain it? February 1st. How Israel tried to hide its malign campaign against U.S. citizens. Now this one I'm going to quote just a paragraph. An explosive undercover documentary produced by Al Jazeera's investigative unit exposes how U.S. lobby groups, including the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the Israel on Campus Coalition, work closely with the Israeli government to spy on, smear, and sabotage American citizens who speak out for Palestinian rights. But the four-part film never aired after Israel lobby pressure on Qatar, which funds the news network, the documentary was censored. Close quote. February 6th, Senate approves anti-BDS bill. February 11th, Trump to endorse Chabad movement in event attended by Jewish leaders. And a quote from this article, U.S. President Donald Trump will sign a proclamation Tuesday endorsing Education and Sharing Day, an annual event affiliated with the Chabad movement. The event commemorates the Hebrew calendar birthday of Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, who led Chabad throughout the second half of the 20th century. Trump will be the fifth consecutive president to sign a proclamation on this day, following his predecessors, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and Ronald Reagan. A linked article, hundreds of thousands in donations tie Kushner's and Trump to Chabad movement. February 14, House approves motion condemning anti-Semitism. February 19, Israel has a starring role in H.R. 648, Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2019. Quote from this article, on January 23rd, the House of Representatives passed an Appropriation Act bill to reopen the government and pay our federal employees. But buried inside the bill are diverse financial allotments and perks for a foreign country, Israel. The legislation contains paragraphs and sections far removed from the shutdown, committing billions of dollars in payments to Israel without the robust debate that usually accompanies big ticket spending. Close quote. Just sneak it through. Without discussion, both parties. February 15, Sanhedrin, yes, there is a Sanhedrin in Israel again. Sanhedrin invites Nikki Haley to be honorary president of Organization of 70 Nations. March 14, Israel no longer occupies Golan Heights, U.S. State Department indicates. In other words, they don't occupy it in the view of this government. They own it. March 13, our U.S. State Department issued a new definition of anti-Semitism. I went to the State Department website and copied this definition. This is March 13 of last year. Here is the official U.S. government definition of anti-Semitism: making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews, such as, or the power of Jews as collective, such as, especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy, or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. It doesn't matter if they do or not. You just can't say that they do, or you're an anti-Semite. Denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of the National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, the Holocaust. Denying the scope. So maybe there is honest question over numbers, locations, exact mechanisms. If you question any of that, the government says you're an anti-Semite. Accusing Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Well, what if they did? What if they did exaggerate the Holocaust? You can't say that, or you're an anti-Semite. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. How many Jewish citizens do we have in the government of the United States of America? Many, and I'm going to talk about that more later in this message. Using the symbols and images, now you're going to love this one, using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus, to characterize Israel or Israelis. Simon Peter in Acts chapter 2 said very clearly that the Jews murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the eyes of our government, this would be Mr. Trump's government. If you quote Simon Peter in the Word of God as saying the Jews murdered Jesus, you're an anti-Semite. The influence of Zionism in America. March 21st. Is Donald Trump campaigning for Netanyahu? Question. Answer, yes. He was and is. March 22nd. Pompeo, that would be Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, claims Trump sent by God to save Israel. Well, that's strange. I thought Trump came to make America great. Our Secretary of State said Trump was sent by God to save Israel. The influence of Zionism in America. March 27, Sheldon Adelson's $82+ million donation bought U.S.-Israel policies. Here's something you got to understand, all you left-right paradigm people, you folks that are caught up in the Democrat versus Republican phony paradigm. You think that they're on opposite sides. You think they're fighting each other and one is a good guy and one is a bad guy. The Democrat Party is influenced, dare I say, controlled by the billionaire Zionist George Soros. The Republican Party is influenced, dare I say, controlled by the billionaire Zionist Sheldon Adelson. The Sheldon Adelson wing of the Zionist Party controls the Republicans, and the George Soros wing of the Zionist Party controls the Democrats, but both Republicans and Democrats are controlled by the Zionists. And all this fighting between the two is nothing but public theater to deceive the masses into thinking that they're voting for a difference when they vote for one or the other. When they're all voting for the Zionist Party. March 26. U.S. officials, that would be Vice President, Secretary of State, highest levels of government, U.S. officials vow support for Israel at AIPAC conference. April 8. Senator proposes U.S. inter-defense pact with Israel. Guess which senator that was. Lindsey Graham. Exactly. Why in the world do we need a defense pact? We're already a proxy army for Israel. What do we need a defense pact for? This one comes from Canada, this story. There's something rotten in Virginia. Israel is a malignant force in local politics. This is April 10th. Now, Virginia should be on all of our radar. We know what's going on in Virginia with the attempt to disarm the people of Virginia. By the way, those 50,000 people that marched against gun control laws in Virginia last Monday are going to have to do more than march and talk. 2 days after the march, the Virginia State Senate passed a red flag gun confiscation bill. Friday of this week, the state government of the State House of Virginia passed, I think it was, 4 gun control bills, including universal background checks and other egregious gun control legislation. They have no intention on listening to those men and women who marched on Richmond last Monday. It will take defiance and civil disobedience from the people of Virginia in order to preserve their Second Amendment liberties in that state. And if they are not willing to do that, they are going to lose their right to keep and bear arms in the state of Virginia. And the state of Virginia is a test. It is a focal point. This is not a coincidence or an accident. Why is it Virginia? Listen to this. This is in April. All this happened in January of this year. This is April of last year. Here's the Canadian report, just 2 paragraphs. Virginia-Israel Advisory Board. How many of you knew there was a Virginia-Israel Advisory Board? VIAB. I wonder how many of you Virginians knew there was a Virginia-Israel Advisory Board in your state. Has actually been funded by the Commonwealth of Virginia taxpayers to promote and even subsidize Israeli businesses in the state. Businesses that currently runs an estimated $500 million per annum in favor of Israel. This is money that leaves Virginia and goes to Israel, $500 million a year, taxpayer money. Grant Smith's Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy, has done considerable digging into the affairs of VIAB, which was ostensibly created to foster closer economic integration between the United States and Israel while supporting the Israeli government's policy agenda. That's their stated purpose. With a charter defining its role as, quote, advising the governor on ways to improve economic and cultural links between the Commonwealth of the State of Israel, with a focus on the area of commerce and trade, art and education, and general government, close quote. Smith has observed that VIAB is a pilot for how Israel can quietly obtain U.S. taxpayer funding and official status for networked entities that advance Israel from within key state governments. VIAB was founded in 2001, but it grew significantly under Governor Terry McAuliffe's administration, 2014 to 2018. McAuliffe, regarded by many as the Clinton's bagman, received what were regarded as generous out-of-state campaign contributors from actively pro-Israeli billionaires Haim Saban and J.B. Pritzker, who were both affiliated with the Democrat Party. McAuliffe met regularly in off-the-record, no-press-allowed sessions with Israel advocacy groups and spoke about the Virginia Advisory Board and its successes. The Virginia Coalition for Human Rights reports that VIAB is the only Israel business promotion entity in the United States embedded within a state government and entirely funded by the state's taxpayers. You want to know what's going on in Virginia? That's what's going on in Virginia. And get this. On February 3 through 6, coming up, Governor Northam is hosting an Israeli unmanned systems naval and avionics defense delegation. The Israeli companies, this is taken from their website, by the way, the Israeli companies can provide homeland security. Are you listening to this? The Israeli companies can provide homeland security, law enforcement, SWAT, and critical infrastructure protection with the most innovative and operationally proven technologies in the world. UAV and aerostats counter UAV sea-based unmanned systems for National Guard, ports, and Coast Guard, law enforcement, police, SWAT, intelligence, event management, breaching, training, robotic, lethal, and non-lethal intervention, port security and intelligence, detection of undersea threats, intelligence about ships, drugs, human trafficking. This is all under the umbrella of what the Israeli companies, who are all part of the Israel Defense Forces infrastructure, being given state government authority, training state government personnel, including National Guard, law enforcement, Coast Guard, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a coincidence, right, that all of this is happening while at the same time Governor Northam is trying to disarm the citizens of the state of Virginia. That's just a coincidence. I'm trying to drive home in your hearts the influence of Israel and Zionism in the United States of America. If this succeeds in Virginia, there will be other states that will likewise implement the exact same plan, and it will hopscotch all across the United States. We're not even out of April yet. April 10, on the eve of Israel's election, Netanyahu thanks Trump for sanctioning Iran at his request. Thank you, President Trump, for sanctioning Iran, at my request, Benjamin Netanyahu. April 22nd, Washington governor, this would be the state of Washington, signs Holocaust Education Bill. A better name for it would be Holocaust Propaganda Bill. So all of our little boys and girls in school, boy, they might hear somebody say something that questions the official story of the Holocaust. So we got to make sure that all of our boys and girls in the public schools in Washington State are fully indoctrinated in the Jewish version of the Holocaust at taxpayer expense, of course. April 23rd, Messianic leaders invited to Mar-a-Lago to promote pro-Israel initiative. Messianic leaders invited to Mar-a-Lago to promote pro-Israel initiative. April 23rd, Netanyahu to name Golan Heights settlement after President Trump. How sweet. May 1st, Florida to pass anti-Semitism bill. May 7th, U.S. acted on vague Mossad tip-off when it sent strike group to Middle East. U.S. acted on Mossad tip-off when it sent strike group to Middle East. Most of the intelligence that our government uses to plan military operations in the Middle East come straight out of Israel and the Mossad. That's the intelligence. When you hear the president or Pompeo or any of these other people talk about intelligence tells us this, intelligence tells us that, it's Mossad intelligence they're talking about. May 8th, David Jeremiah, America's future depends on our relationship with Israel. May 23rd, what Jewish law really says about abortion? And I'm just going to quote the last paragraph. The Jewish community cannot justify staying on the sidelines of this national American issue. We need to take the side of allowing for safe, legal, available abortions. Jewish law does not align with the Christian right on this issue, and neither should Orthodox Jews. Close quote. Israel and the Jews of this country are among the most rabid proponents of abortion on demand in the world. In the state of Israel, women are given state-sponsored, state-paid-for abortions up until the moment of birth. There is no time frame during pregnancy at which abortion is denied. May 31st. You'll love this one. U.S. military cadets visit Israel for educational tour. U.S. military cadets visit Israel for educational tour. Military, police, all going to Israel for training. May 29th, Oregon House unanimously votes to require schools to teach about the Holocaust. So now we got Washington State and Oregon giving the one-sided propaganda story of the Holocaust to all the boys and girls that want to make sure that all the future generations growing up are properly propagandized into the story of the Holocaust. Why? Because surveys prove and facts prove that the vast majority of the millennial generation do not accept the official story of the Holocaust, and they are questioning the legitimacy of those who try to use the Holocaust for their own political purposes. So to prevent that from happening, they got to teach it to the little kids in school. June 4th, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs legislation against anti-Semitism into law. June 3rd, most valued partner, NSA, fed Israel intel for targeted assassinations. So when we want to assassinate people, we feed the intel to Israel, and Mossad takes care of our assassinations for us. Just as Israel fed us the intel when we wanted to assassinate General Soleimani. June 7, in Florida, it is now highly illegal to say Jews control Hollywood. It's against the law in Florida to say Jews control Hollywood. They do. What can I say? June 12th, U.S. senators meet with Jewish leaders in semi-secret annual event. June 12th, Hollywood stars, executives sign petition in support of Israel. Duh! You're kidding! June 20, Department of Education, this would be the Federal Department of Education, to probe North Carolina Conference on Gaza for anti-Israel bias. Oh. And that's what they did. They came into Duke University and they came into North Carolina University, Department of Education, to federal level, and jumped down the throats of the professors and teachers of those two universities, saying that if you are not 100% pro-Israel, if you show any pro-Palestinian bias, we are going to remove your federal funding from your university. And that's what prompted President Trump's executive order stating that any university that says anything pro-Palestinian or anti-Israel will lose federal funding from that university. I am driving home the point of how Israel and Zionism influences America. Are you getting the message? June 18. Texas City refuses to give people hurricane aid unless they pledge not to boycott Israel. American citizens in a Texas city are not given federal emergency assistance unless they sign a form promising they will not support a BDS action against Israel. What in the world does that have to do with the people of the United States, the people of Texas, or the people of that city in Texas who need assistance from a hurricane? June 24, recruiting American spies for Israel. Recruiting American spies for Israel, taking young men and women out of our military, out of our colleges, whatever professional workforce it might be, electronics probably, no doubt, computers, and training them to be Israeli spies. How many of those American-born young men and young women who are trained to be Israeli spies wind up spying on us? June 25th. This is a foreign news report. Donald Trump, : good for Israel. July 12th, senators introduce bipartisan bill to fund Holocaust education in schools nationwide. July 29, Jews outraged by restrictive abortion laws are invoking the Hebrew Bible in the debate. Again, rabid pro-abortionists. When they talk about the Hebrew Bible, they're not talking about the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. They're talking about the Talmud. In the words of the Talmud, unborn babies are not living beings. They have no soul. They're not human. You can do with an unborn baby what you will, according to the Talmud, And that's what they refer to here as the Hebrew Bible. August 26, USS Liberty veterans banned forever from American Legion National Convention. USS Liberty veterans banned forever from American Legion National Convention. I'm talking about the influence of Israel and Zionism in the United States. September 3rd, Israel partisan Peter Berkowitz named head of State Department policy planning. September 5th, Kentucky becomes 26th U.S. state to pass anti-BDS law. September 11, U.S. police delegation visits Israel ahead of 9/11 anniversary. U.S. police delegation visits Israel for training. Remember, the Israel Defense Forces have no constitution. They have no Bill of Rights. They rule the nation by martial law, military force. They are the ones training our police on how to conduct law enforcement in the United States. You wonder why so many of these policemen seem to have so little regard and respect for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. October 2nd, Broward County, Florida Commission passes anti-Israel boycott resolution. November 11, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley accepts prestigious Theodore Herzl Award. December 13, Mark Levin calls Trump first Jewish president. December 11, Trump to sign order penalizing colleges over perceived anti-Semitism on campus. Talked about briefly just a moment ago. December 27, Netanyahu victorious vows U.S. recognition of Israeli settlement annexation. January 6, 2020. Targeted killing of Soleimani, a boost for Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu is a criminal. He is a mass murderer. He is a war criminal, but in Israel, he's facing domestic criminal charges. If he were not the prime minister of Israel, he would have been in prison a long time ago. The only thing keeping him out of legal hot water is the fact that he is the prime minister of Israel. He's embroiled in a political battle for survival. They've had two elections over there, and they haven't got a clear winner. They're going to have a third one in March. It's not a coincidence that Donald Trump is inviting Netanyahu this coming week to announce his deal of the century, treaty deal, or whatever you want to call it, between Israel and Palestine, which is, I'll say more about that here in a minute, got some news on that. Donald Trump's killing of General Soleimani was seen as one of the biggest boosts for Netanyahu's presidential campaign that could have been done on his behalf. Targeted killing of Soleimani, a boost for Benjamin Netanyahu. That is a Jerusalem Post article, the flagship paper of Israel. January 6, 2020. Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, this is going to grab you. Jeffrey Epstein's alleged madam, Ghislaine Maxwell, along with Epstein, you know it, I know it, everybody knows it, they were Mossad operatives, right. Both of them. Right. Ghislaine Maxwell has extensive ties to the Mossad. Yeah. There is no question she was a Mossad operative. Epstein, alleged Madam Ghislaine Maxwell, hires former Navy SEALs amid death threats. We have former Navy SEALs who are the bodyguards for this Mossad operative, Ghislaine Maxwell, who, along with Jeffrey Epstein, conducted this sex trafficking operation around the world for the purpose of bribing officials around the world. Let's go. What are Navy SEALs doing guarding Israeli operatives? January 9, Ivanka Trump receives Friend of Israel Award. Boy, that comes as a surprise, doesn't it? January 13, Trump's pre-election gift to Netanyahu, execution of General Soleimani. That was the gift. January 15, South Dakota governor signs executive order prohibiting Israel boycotts. January 15, Israel intel helped U.S. carry out strike that killed Iran's Soleimani. No kidding. Netanyahu wanted Soleimani dead to boost his political ratings. He fed the intelligence to Trump, who carried out the assassination for the benefit of Benjamin Netanyahu's political career. That's the real story. January 20. Israeli unmanned systems, naval and avionics defense delegation visiting Virginia. Read the report back in April. Here we are in January. Israeli unmanned systems, naval and avionics defense delegation visiting Virginia. Two more of these. January 21. Governor Abbott, Texas governor, quote, anybody who is an enemy of Israel is an enemy of Texas. Close quote. You know what I say to that? Anybody who is a friend of Israel is an enemy of unborn babies. Really, Governor, I thought your job as a governor was to govern the state in which all people of that state were welcome and were citizens and had the same rights under our Constitution and under our Bill of Rights as anyone else, regardless of skin color, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, regardless of heritage or religion or anything else. Every person was equal under our Constitution and under the Texas Constitution. Anybody who's an enemy of Israel, really? Is an enemy of Texas? Oh, by the way, he was in Israel when he said that, receiving the Friend of Israel Award. He was sucking up to his benefactors who shell out millions of dollars for people like him. Do you notice that it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat? The net result is the same. And then lastly, January 24th, deal of the century, Netanyahu just got the gift of the century. Talking about the peace, so-called peace plan that Trump is going to unveil this week, about which is which is going to be nothing but a total blessing to Israel and a curse to the Palestinian people. But it's going to, again, boost Netanyahu's ratings in Israel. What criminal investigations? What criminal activity? What political problems? Netanyahu is getting everything from America. Again, this is a political strategy to keep the globalist, murderous, Zionist Benjamin Netanyahu in office. That's just a sample. Note the prominence and dominance of Israeli news and the positive spin for its agenda. Notice Israel's influence over almost every aspect of American politics and society. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hollywood, Congress, churches, White House, states, schools, universities, everything influenced directly by Israel. Now, since I'm on this subject, let me rehearse for you a little bitty bit of the primary Israeli lobbies that control the U.S. Congress via campaigning funding and raw political power. I'm going to give you a sample of the various Israeli lobbying organizations in this country. This is only a few out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Each of these organizations takes in millions of dollars annually. Some of them billions of dollars annually. I'm driving home a point. The American Israel Education Foundation, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Anti-Defamation League, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, the Gideon Project, Simon Wiesenthal Center, the Project, Women's Zionist Organization of America, America's Voices in Israel. This organization brings celebrities, Hollywood celebrities, political celebrities, singing, entertainment celebrities, you name it, and other opinion makers, writers, journalists, etc., on guided tours of Israel, all paid for by America's Voices in Israel. All these opinion makers, leaders, entertainers, celebrities, paid to go to Israel and get the indoctrination. The Jewish Agency for Israel, American Friends of Likud, America-Israel Cooperative Enterprise, the Israel Allies Foundation, the Jewish Policy Center, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, that's the one you're probably familiar with, Conference of Presidents, COP. This is a group of 51 Zionist organizations. 51, just in this one group, 51 Zionist organizations advocating on behalf of Israel, including a focus on defeating Iran. The Conference of Presidents focuses on lobbying the executive branch of our federal government, while AIPAC concentrates on Congress. AIPAC lobbies Congress. COP lobbies the president on behalf of this 51 organizations, just in this one group. The American Israel Education Foundation, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Central Fund of Israel. Now, this group sponsors reservists on duty, established in 2015 by Israeli soldiers to travel to U.S. college campuses to advocate for Israel and to train American Jewish students to speak on behalf of Israel. So they bring in Israeli military to visit our college campuses to talk to the students on campus, to befriend them and make them allies of Israel, all paid for by this Jewish lobby group. Christians United for Israel. CUFI is a right-wing evangelical Christian organization run by David Brog, who is a Jewish American attorney who previously practiced corporate law in Tel Aviv, Israel. John Hagee is the founder of this organization. Gary Bauer, head of the CUFI Action Fund. Bauer is also one of the signers on the Statement of Principles of the Project for a New American Century. Some of you know about that one, don't you? In 1997. Bauer also serves on the board of the Emergency Committee for Israel. In 2010, he received the Defender of Israel Award from the Zionist Organization of America. That's CUFI. John Hagee, Gary Bauer, David Brog, and thousands more. The Haim Solomon Center, this organization publishes articles in the USA Today, New York Daily News, Fox News, The Hill, Washington Times, Wall Street Journal, and on and on and on. They are the ones that put out so many of these pro-Israeli, anti-Palestinian publications that are picked up by all of the mainstream media and published for the American people. Friends of the Israel Defense Forces. This American organization supports the Israeli armed forces. It hosts lavish fundraisers, has 14 regional offices in the United States and one in Latin America. FIDF also brings hundreds of Israeli soldiers to the U.S. every year to lecture at synagogues, universities, and schools in order to increase American support for Israeli policies. Are you understanding this? The Jewish Agency for Israel, Young Judea, the oldest Zionist youth movement in the United States. It brings young people to Israel and also has numerous summer camps in the U.S. that serve to instill a lifelong love of Israel. American-Israeli Cooperative Enterprise, all simply called the Jewish Virtual Library. This nonprofit organization was established in 1993. By the way, most of these organizations are nonprofit. Most of them were tax exempt. Its principal publication, Myths and Facts, a Guide to the Arab-Israeli Conflict. It produces materials to oppose the BDS campaign and publishing the StopBDS.com website. The organization also funds professors on U.S. campuses. Do you realize that many college professors in America are being paid by Israeli lobbyists or the Israeli government itself? They are the professors in our colleges and universities. Many. The Israel Allies Foundation, the Jim Joseph Foundation, Stand With Us. This organization has erected numerous pro-Israel, anti-Palestinian billboards around the United States. If you go to these major metropolitan areas, you'll see these billboards all over the place. It says, Israelis invested $57 billion in U.S. companies. $57 billion straight from Israel to U.S. companies for favorable treatment in the American economy, press, etc. Emergency Committee for Israel, ECI. The Emergency Committee for Israel represents a potent combination of Republican Party, neoconservatives, and evangelical Christians. The group's board includes Weekly Standard editor William Crystal and Gary Bauer, as well as Rachel Abrams, a conservative writer and activist. The committee produces an advertisement, produced an advertisement against Ron Paul that ran in South Carolina because of Paul's opposition to U.S. aid for Israel and other countries. They were one of the principal reasons why the evangelical Christians and conservatives in South Carolina rejected Ron Paul's candidacy. Emergency Committee for Israel. Millions and millions of dollars campaigning against Ron Paul. Leona M. and Harry B. Helmsley Charitable Trust. Aaron and Marie Blackman Foundation Incorporated. Jewish Council for Public Affairs. Jewish National Fund. The Jewish National Fund is an international organization founded at Basel, Switzerland by Theodor Herzl in 1901. The fund was originally created for the purpose of purchasing land in Palestine for a future Jewish state. Today, the main focus of the JNF is land reclamation and forestry. Reclamation, that just means, that's a benign sounding word for expansion. That's what that is. However, the group also serves to fund IDF military installations. The organization is well-funded by donors with total assets of $1.15 billion. Just one organization, over $1 billion. I guarantee you this so-called peace deal of the century coming up this week is going to include the expansion of Israeli territory into the Jordan Valley. Not to mention the settlements on the West Bank and Gaza. Zionist Organization of America, American Jewish Committee, World Jewish Congress, JINSA, that's the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, Republican Jewish Coalition. Republican Jewish Coalition. The Republican Jewish Coalition is a Jewish lobbying group whose mission statement includes the embrace of pro-Israel foreign policy. The RJC maintains close links to the Likud Party in Israel. This is the Republican wing of the Jewish lobby groups in Washington. They are a Republican group. They support Republicans. They vote for Republicans. They put Republicans in office. Republicans they can control. It's a Republican Zionist organization. The next one, National Jewish Democratic Council. The National Jewish Democratic Council is a group dedicated to maximizing Jewish support for the Democratic Party, increasing support for Jewish domestic and foreign policy priorities, and securing a democratic Jewish state in Israel. NJDC supports Likud policies. So does the Republican Zionist lobby group and the Democrat Zionist lobby group. All support the Likud party. That's the war party in Israel. Pushes for hawkish stance against Iran, urging the President of the United States to, quote, stand with Israel. So you got lobbying going on in the Democrats and lobbying going on in the Republicans, but they're all Jewish lobbyists lobbying for Israel. They don't care if the Republicans win the election. They don't care if Democrats win the election. They control whichever party is in charge. Are you getting that? All this stuff about left, right, politics, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative is a bunch of phony baloney. Center for Security Policy, founded and led by neoconservative Frank Gaffney, a longtime Israel partisan. A primary target of CFSP work is conquering Iran. the Middle East Media Research Institute. This is a shadowy organization. We don't know a whole lot about it. They don't disclose the names of their members, their staff. They don't even disclose their office locations. All we know about this group is that one of the organization's founders worked as an Israeli military intelligence officer. Israel America Chamber of Commerce. Yeah, did you know we had one of those? Israel America Chamber of Commerce. And I have just scratched the surface. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these organizations. Billions and billions of dollars. Lobbying our Congress, our White House, infiltrating our colleges, our university systems, our police forces, our military, National Guard, churches. I am trying to drive home the fact that Israel and Zionism's influence on America is huge. Am I getting through? In addition, and I had them all, I had the names, but I knew this was going to be too long if I brought the names with me. So I didn't. I found in my research over 100 members of the U.S. government who are known to be dual U.S. Israeli citizens. Over 100. Both parties who are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. Our government in Washington is awash in foreign citizens, and they're all Israeli. For the sake of objectivity and research, I tried to find any member of government that was a foreign citizen, or I should say a citizen of a foreign nation, of any other country besides Israel. And I couldn't find one. Not one. They're all citizens of one country, Israel. And I am convinced, absolutely, 100%, emphatically convinced, that there are hundreds of Israeli operatives posing as evangelical Christian leaders. I am absolutely convinced of that. I suspect one in particular not far from us. And I have suspicions about dozens of others. When you start trying to find how these people are financed, and there is no clear delineation as to how they are receiving their support and from whom they are receiving their support, a red flag should go up in our minds and saying, who is this guy really working for? Yeah. Hundreds, I'm convinced, of Israeli operatives posing as evangelical Christian leaders in this country. The point of everything I've said is America is completely inundated with the proselytes of the Pharisees. Tell me, has America been blessed for all of this blessing we've shown Israel? I will bless them that bless thee, Genesis 12:3, And that's applied to the modern state of Israel. We must bless the state of Israel, or God will not bless us. And if we do, God will bless us. Really? It's been over 70 years now since we have blessed the state of Israel. Have we been blessed? Let me ask you, how do America's families compare to 1948? How are our marriages in America in 2020 compared to 1948? What do our families look like in 2020 compared to 1948? Have our families, how are kids doing in America in 2020 compared to 1948? How do America's educational institutions compare to 1948? How do our educational, did we have the atheism and agnosticism and secularism and humanism and all these things predominating our curriculum and our classrooms in the colleges and universities in America in 1948 like we do in 2020? What about the quality of our education? My father was born in 1907. Can you believe that? My granddad was born in 1880. My granddad, two generations. My granddad, 1880. My dad, 1907. Same year John Wayne was born, by the way. I'd throw that out. John Wayne died in 1979. My dad died in 1993. At that time, not everyone achieved a high school education, much less a college education. My dad's formal education stopped at the eighth grade. He did not have a formal education beyond the eighth grade. But I would tell you, knowing him and the kind of intelligence and education that he had, and going through more than one college myself, and being around college people most of my life, I can tell you that my dad's eighth grade education in the early 20th century equaled approximately the education of a junior college in today's educational circles. We're not going up academically in the worlds. We are going down academically in the world. We're not even at the top of the academic apex of the world's educational systems. So how are we doing? How's our educational institutions compared to 1948? What about our entertainment industry compared to 1948? What about our singers, our movies, our television, our actors, our entertainers? What does it look like today versus 1948? Tell me! You can't even hardly go watch a movie if you're a person of decency. It's hard to find a movie that's decent. It's hard to watch a television show that's decent. Why? Today, it's hard to watch a commercial that's decent. Filth, garbage inundates the minds and the hearts of people with almost every television show, almost every movie, almost every theatrical production. It's just devilish, filth, garbage, immorality. How's that compared to 1940? Have we been blessed? Our televisions have been blessed. Our movies have been blessed. Huh? Come on. Where's the blessing? What about our news media? Boy, they're paragons of honesty, aren't they? You can always trust what you hear on the news, right? Well, come on. What's our media like? Our media is nothing more than government-bought, war state, paid-for propaganda agencies. That's all the media is. How are we doing? Bless them that bless thee. How's our families? How's our education? How's our entertainment? How's our news media? Tell me, how's our social behavior in 2020 compared to 1948? Have you listened to the teenagers talk? What do you hear them say? What do we hear come out of their mouths? What do you hear coming out of Christians' mouths. Vulgarity, profanity, blasphemy, indecency. What do you hear in the social network? It's garbage. It's filth. I hear little kids using God's name in vain. I hear little kids using four-letter words that if I'd have ever used one time and my dad would have found out about it, it would have been the last time I ever used that word, and thankfully I didn't use the word to begin with. There was no such thing as due process in my dad's house when it came to stuff like that. It was a pure dictatorship. If I ever sassed my mother, if I ever was disrespectful to my mother, if I ever used that kind of filthy language, I would have lived to regret it. I promise you. Our society as a whole is living in the toilet. It's living in the toilet. I'm so sick and tired of hearing professing Christians use God's name in vain and use filthy, vulgar language out in public and little kids and teenagers. Oh, yeah. Our society's really been blessed, hasn't it? 70 years of blessing Israel. We've got the blessing of God on our society. How about America's economy? Oh, I got you there, Pastor Chuck. America's got the greatest economy now. Trump has given America the greatest economy ever in the world. Oh, really? Then how come there's so many people that are working two or three jobs just to make a living? Then tell me, why does the Federal Reserve have to pour trillions and trillions of dollars into the markets just to keep them above water if the market is so good, if the economy is so good? Why do they need the Fed's injection of trillions of dollars to keep it afloat? That doesn't sound great to me. Give you something else to chew on. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Index, today's prices in 2020 are 966.28% higher than the average prices since 1950. That's almost 1,000% higher than 1950. The U.S. dollar experienced an average inflation rate of 3.44% per year during this period, meaning the real value of a dollar decreased. This is called, in economic circles, the inflation tax. Your dollar is worth less today than it was this time last year. And a year from now, it will be worth less then than it is now because of our economic policies of deficit spending and borrowing in Washington, D.C. by these clowns that call themselves our political leaders. In other words, $1 in 1950 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $10.66 in 2020. What you could buy for a dollar in 1950 now costs you $10. So you have one-tenth of the purchasing power today that you had in 1950.
Oh, we have been blessed for blessing Israel, the economy, so good.
Folks, let me tell you, you cannot legislate away stupidity. How does America's spiritual life compare to 1950? 4,000 churches are closing every year in America. The condition of our churches is, you know what? I'll bless them that bless thee, really? In every discernible category, our nation is worse, far worse today than we were in 1948. Where's the blessing? Where's the blessing? I'm coming to a close. Aren't you glad? All of this is a result, listen to me, all of this is the result of C.I. Schofield's erroneous teaching of Israel-based prophetic futurism and the advent of Christian Zionism in America's churches. None of this that I have rehearsed with you today would exist without the Schofield Israel-based prophetic futurism and the rise of Christian Zionism in America's churches. This is first and foremost a spiritual problem. It is not a political problem at all. That's why Donald Trump or anyone else that sits in the White House cannot fix it. As long as these Christians and preachers look to a politician to do what is their job to do, we will never solve our country's ills. The answer is in the pulpits, not in the politicians. Here's the bottom line. By advocating for Israel-based prophetic futurism, by Judaizing the doctrines and worship of America's churches, and by the advent of Christian Zionism, the church has rejected the completed work of Christ on the cross, the fulfillment of the old covenant in Christ, and the biblical truth of salvation by Christ alone and faith alone. This is a spiritual repudiation of biblical truth. The church in America is in a state of expanded heresy. They have traded the new covenant for the old covenant. They have rejected the fulfillment of the old covenant by Christ's death and resurrection and the implementation of the new covenant, which has brought all men unto God through faith in Jesus Christ. And they have sectionalized it. They have propagandized it. They have politicized it to the point that the true gospel of Jesus Christ, for the most part, is not even preached, much less believed. The interjection of Judaic works, the introduction of Old Testament law into the church and the new covenant has neutered neutralized the message of the gospel. And therefore, Ichabod is written across the churches of America. And the result of this invasion upon our country by an alien, foreign power is exactly the kind of judgment that God brought upon his children, the Old Testament children of Israel, when they turned their backs on the truth of God. It's the same kind of judgment. What did Jesus say? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him the twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And the conclusion of this message, right here, takes us back to the very first message series that I brought in 2014, Christ and the Pharisees. Let's stand for prayer.